Switchboard. Why, hey, Sunshine. Let me transfer you. Please hold. Switchboard. Why, I'm just Peachy. Thanks for asking. Please hold. Switchboard. Oh, dang. He's just stepped out of his office. Can I transfer you? Please hold. Bill! It's your wife!
Times have changed. So should your PBX. Get Virto from Vox Orion, a hosted IP PBX for your business available from only 65 Rand per user per month. For more info, SMS your name to 45678.
And we'll call you.
Welcome to Talk Central, the business technology podcast brought to you by the editors at techcentral.co.za. My name's Duncan McLeod. I'm here as usual with Craig Wilson. How's it, Craig?
Good, thanks. And you, Duncan?
Are you sporting a new hairstyle?
No, I just had a trim.
Oh, right. Looks different.
Looking short and tidy.
I know we often say it in this podcast, it's been a busy week, but geez, it really has, hasn't it?
This one's been unbelievable, yeah. Oh,
so much going on. I think the theme of this week, though, is uncapped.
Yeah, there's been so many announcements on that front this week.
Uncapped fever, if you like.
I suppose we should dive straight in, really. You had the big announcement from Telkom today, also known as the announcement they said they'd never make.
Yes, indeed. I mean, I remember about 3 or 4 months ago, they sent out a letter to their subscribers in the post saying, basically dissing uncapped ISPs and saying, you know, if you want a real broadband experience, you won't get uncapped. You'll come to our capped products.
Yeah.
And here we go, four or five months later, and they're introducing uncapped.
I suppose, too, that they didn't really have a choice. I mean, there are so many other people doing it. And Telkom's really looking to try and retain some of the customers that it has and stop them from churning to other providers. I suppose it was inevitable. But yes, it is funny in light of their recently having decried it.
Yes. Well, it's good they've had a bit of a U-turn. Well, they've had a full U-turn on this one. Interesting pricing, though. Certainly on the 384 and the 1 meg packages, they're looking reasonably competitive against the other providers. A bit more expensive, but on the 4 meg and 10 meg packages, they're looking decidedly uncompetitive.
Yeah, indeed.
Especially on the 4 meg pack. They actually don't have a 4 meg option. It's 384... 1 meg and 10 meg. So if you've got a 4 meg line, you have to stump for the 10 meg package, which costs an amazing 2,079 Rand a month for data only.
Sure, which is just, it's not competitive.
It's not competitive at all. Now, if you consider that MWeb's 4 megabit per second data only package is 539 Rand a month,
indeed, that's actually a quarter. That's what I'm running at home at the moment.
Yeah.
And and in fairness, generally we get more than 4 megs. I actually, because I've been doing speed tests for other reasons this week, which we'll come to, I did a speed test again last night and it recorded 6 megs down. You know, and that's on MWeb where I'm paying a quarter of what Telkom's now saying they want to charge you for the 10 meg. And it's only a theoretical 10 meg, as you said. It's also dependent on your area.
Yes.
I mean, there's still the problem, too, of people who are paying for 4 meg lines, but whose copper can only handle 3 megs.
Oh, like us here at Tech
Central. Like here at the office, yeah. So, look, I mean, on the high end, it's no good. But, I think for a lot of... For a lot of the customers who are already using Telkom's cheaper packages, it is a good offer. And I think there are a surprisingly large number of people who are, in part because as you're still forced to get your line through Telkom, it is quite convenient to just do everything all in one.
Mm, absolutely. Now, I had a really interesting interview with Stephen White, who's the executive who made the announcement today at the Rage Computer Gaming Expo, just up the road here, in fact, at the Dome. And interesting discussion with him, and got some insights into why they're actually really doing this, the main reason that they're actually doing this, and it's not so much because of demand from customers or even a competitive move, although there's no doubt that played a big role in it. They're planning to introduce video on demand services across their lines in the next 12 within the next 12 months. So they're effectively going to be taking on MultiChoice in their video IP video on demand product, which they have said they will launch before the end of this year.
Indeed, and so, doing it in good timing as well, not letting MultiChoice get too much of a head start on them with it. Yes. Hopefully,
yeah. So I mean, that's a really, for me, that's a significant development. Stephen White said that in Telkom's view, this market is no longer just about speed and the amount of bandwidth that gets provisioned to customers, but rather the value-added services that get provided on top of that. And I think he's right.
I do. I mean, I think we're seeing that across industries, though. I think, you know, as we come to talk about the myriad of sort of tablets we're seeing at the moment as well, it's becoming a case of it's not just about the core product anymore. It's what you can add on top of that. Mm. And it's those value adds that are becoming the real differentiators. Mm.
There are also rumors that Netflix may be coming into the South African market in the not too distant future. So,
although for the time being, Telkom's downplayed having any role to do with that.
Well, Telkom has specifically said they're not talking to Netflix, and that Netflix isn't interested in the South African market. But I'm hearing from my sources that, in fact, Netflix is interested in the South African market, and we may have some news on that front quite soon. So,
sure. Well, look, I'm just glad because, I mean, video on demand, you know, whether or not, depending how many people use it, we don't know. But if it's out there and, you know, service providers want to punt this as a service and want to promote uptake, we're going to have to see line speeds increasing, and that's good news.
Yeah, and interestingly, Telkom isn't going to be able to offer video on demand to customers sitting on 384, probably not even on, sitting on 1 Mbps connections.
Even standard definition content.
And so I asked Stephen about that, and he said, well, we are aware that we need to increase these line speeds. So the good news is for the guy sitting on 384 kilobit per second lines, which haven't been upgraded in years, it sounds very
like
much
my
to
mom.
Me... it sounds very, very much that Telkom is going to be increasing those line speeds in the not too distant future.
Yeah, and that's good news because everyone else has seen some sort of upgrade, yeah. Like the 512s got bumped up, and the 1 Mbps got bumped up. So yeah, hopefully the 384 will finally get to see a bit of an improvement.
Indeed. But interesting developments nonetheless. So a day before Telkom announced its uncapped broadband offerings, iBurst also surprised everybody because, you know, we weren't expecting uncapped offerings coming from a wireless provider, but they also announced uncapped packages.
Indeed. And also, again, I'm not sure how you feel about the pricing, but some of it isn't too bad. On the whole, though, perhaps... not as competitive as we'd like, but it's again still good news. It's good that more people are doing it, and you know I'm not sure what sort of how big a consumer customer base iBurst has. I mean, I understand predominantly their
70,000.
Their business is mostly corporates.
Well, they've got a fairly small corporate base as well. They're a niche operator. They're a small player. They got a license a few years ago. I think they were the first, or I think they even got their license before Sentech did. And but yeah, they haven't really capitalized on it, and they've only got about 70,000 customers. It's been in slight decline, I think, in the recent past.
Indeed. Of course, what is interesting is what iBurst has in terms of spectrum.
Indeed, they're sitting with some spectrum in the 1800 megahertz band, and I was chatting to one of the executives at iBurst this week. What was his name? Malcolm Turnbull. And he was saying that they have had approaches from what he called suitors, which immediately...
set alarm bells ringing
indeed. And did a bit of digging in the market and picked up some talk that MTN had been in discussions with them and one other player, which I'm not going to mention just yet because we're still investigating it. But MTN... So the speculation was that MTN could potentially buy iBurst to get access to additional spectrum in the 1800 megahertz band. As you know, Craig, MTN is rolling out an LTE network, long-term evolution network, sometimes called 4G, although it is a bit controversial.
It's a bit of a misnomer, yeah. You know, but...
They're running a pilot in Gauteng. They're hoping to hook up about 100 sites as part of this pilot, and we'll get to that in a moment. But... They're desperate for more spectrum to do this. They've refarmed a portion of their voice services out of 1800.
I think it's legacy voice services in the 1800 range.
And so they're using a small chunk of spectrum. I think it's about 5 MHz or so in the 1800 megahertz band to provide this LTE test network. But they clearly want access to more spectrum. And iBurst has the spectrum. So this is a set of speculation that MTN may either work with them or try and buy iBurst.
And would, of course, promote an enormous resistance from the likes of Vodacom.
And possibly from the regulator.
Indeed.
Of course, Vodacom used to be a shareholder in iBurst and they sold out.
Yeah.
But it would be an interesting one if it were to happen. But I spoke to Coral Pienaar, the managing director of MTN South Africa, this afternoon, and he scotched the rumours. He said it's extremely unlikely that they're going to buy iBurst. He says they're in discussions with Icasa about getting access to more spectrum that we've known for a while. But he says they're also talking about smaller players in the market that have access to spectrum, like WBS, iBurst, and Sentech. But he said that it's highly unlikely that they're going to buy them, and it also sounded to me quite unlikely that they will do a deal of any sort with WBS, which owns iBurst.
Right.
So yeah, but they do. I mean, MTN is talking talking up quite a game here. They certainly want trying to be seen, and so far they are being seen as the most aggressive player in the LTE space.
Sure.
They've certainly built quite a widespread test network, much more aggressive rollout than any of its competitors.
Well, indeed, they're the only one of the operators we've really heard anything about
yes.
in terms of an actual functioning yeah. LTE system. Granted, as you said, it's in pilot. I think at the moment there's only about 70 towers that are actually supporting it. But
yeah. Towers have to have fiber in to support the backhaul. You can't do it with legacy connections into these towers. So they're having to roll out fiber to these towers, which is going to take a bit longer. But you know, I know Vodacom ran an LTE trial, but only on its campus in Midrand. I think they started that trial about 18 months ago, if I'm not mistaken. So,
well, in fairness, that does also. I mean, it does also make me wonder. It does seem strange to me that MTN would be the only ones doing anything. I'm sure there is an awful lot going on behind the scenes.
I'm sure.
It's just that MTN's the only one who's actually said anything yet.
Yeah. I've got no doubt Vodacom is deploying.
No, and I'm expecting an announcement from them any day now, because they will only let MTN get so much momentum and so much good publicity about this before they launch something. I expect we will hear something big before the year is out.
I've got no doubt about that, and I'm sure Cell C will run some pilots as well, and I've got no doubt ATA is also looking at the technology.
Sure.
But of course, all these operators really need access to spectrum.
That's the big problem.
Especially in 2.6 and 800 megahertz to offer that sort of dual carrier. But
indeed, both the high density and the sort of low density, long range sort of areas.
Yeah.
To cover both, you need both ends.
Yeah. But hopefully we'll hear some news out of the Department of Communications and ICASA before the end of this year on what's going to happen with that spectrum. I was chatting to Robert Nkuna, who's the special advisor to the Minister of Communications, a few weeks ago, and he said that he admitted that the department has just been far too slow in dealing with this issue, and it's actually an embarrassment for the DOC, and they're going to work on and get this thing sorted out. So I think we're going to see some action on that score in the next couple of months.
And the DOC seems to be pushing quite hard on it now and trying to make up for the seeming sort of inaction. Roy Pagliacci's been quite firm about trying to set deadlines and trying to get people to cooperate and make it happen.
Now, I want to go on and talk a bit about this LTE network, but I think while we were talking about the uncapped stuff, we should also mention that MTN is introducing a promotional period as part of their Yellow Summer campaign.
Indeed,
Where they're going to be offering 4 months of uncapped 3G data to their customers
starting tomorrow,
the 1st of October, and running till the end of January.
That's right.
This is clearly being done as a test to see how their network will cope with users using uncapped. It must be emphasized that this is only available on two packages on MTN, and subscribers have to be signed up for a 24-month contract.
Indeed, So you've either got to sign up quickly now, or you have to be an existing customer. Existing customers will automatically be provisioned to this uncapped service.
Yeah,
you won't have to ask for it or anything. I think it's great that they're testing it, and it's interesting, obviously, as you said, to see what the sort of load on the network will be and how well they're able to cope with it. And what kind of demand there is from consumers, what sort of data people want to be able to use.
Mm.
I frankly didn't think we would see uncapped mobile offerings.
Neither did I.
This soon. As I said, it is only for 4 months. When I did some digging around earlier in the week, they did say that it looked very unlikely that they would extend it beyond those four months. But there is also a problem with the package, in a sense, to my thinking. You know, the difference between the two packages that they're offering it on, the first, when they were capped and when they were limited, well, they weren't capped, they were throttled, you know, once you reached a fair usage limit. On the cheaper package, the $2.99 package, that limit was 3 gigs. And on the $7.99 package, that limit was 10 gigs. But there's no actual speed differences. You know, the difference was purely in how much data you could use before you got throttled down to, I forget what the limit was, but the problem is, you know, now if you're a subscriber to the higher end of it, you are paying the same amount. I mean, you're paying more money than someone who's getting the same amount of data, essentially, for these 4 months.
Yes.
I have to admit, if I was paying 800 Rand a month versus 300 Rand a month, and suddenly I had exactly the same service, I'd be a little bit peeved.
Yes, indeed. Indeed. I think, Craig, we need to take a quick break there. We'll be back right off these messages to talk more about MTN and LTE.
Okay, gang, cup of gas. You're going to flip your lids when you see the swell idea the nerds have come up with. Please pick up your tins. Now, you'll see that they're connected by string, and when you talk in that end, Polly, David over here can hear you. Isn't that the cat's pajamas? Don't be a wet rag now, Polly. Say hello.
Hello, Dave.
You see? No sweat.
Times have changed. So should your PBX. Get Virto from Vox Orion, a hosted IP PBX for your business that offers fantastic savings from 65 Rand per user per month. For more info, SMS your name to 45678.
And we'll call you.
After the advent of the telephone, it took mankind 70 years to invent the color television. And yet, it only took the next 23 years to invent lasers. The internet. To put a man on the moon. Ignition sequence start. It begs the question, what will the business world be like in the next 23 years? Wherever your business is at, Telkom Business will be there with you. Telkom Business.
Welcome back to Talk Central, the business technology podcast brought to you by the editors at techcentral.co.za. I'm Duncan McLeod. I'm here with Craig Wilson. So Craig, continuing the MTN discussion, you've had a chance over the last week or so to play around with this new LTE network of theirs. You've been playing around with, is it a Huawei dongle?
It is a Huawei dongle.
Testing out this LTE network. Tell us your experiences of it.
Sure. Well, I haven't gotten to play around nearly enough, unfortunately. We're in the unfortunate position at the moment that we don't have coverage either at the office here or at my house, but I've been told that there will be coverage at my house fairly shortly. In the interim, I took the opportunity to test it while I was in Sandton earlier this week, and the results are great. I mean, from a South African perspective, we ran a speed test, and to the local MTN business connection here in Johannesburg, we managed to get sort of 23 megabits per second down and about 19 up, if I recall. There are actually some screenshots on the website. We also did a test to London. That wasn't quite as good. That was about 5.7 up, I think. And then when I did a test to New York, I got as high as, I think it was almost 20.
I think it was 717 you got.
Yeah, thereabouts. Mm. But the curious thing was there were massive variances, really enormous. Even in the Joburg ones, while they were generally sort of 10 megabits per second or more, I didn't get that every time. You know, I didn't get the 20 every time. Sometimes it was 20, sometimes it was 15. It varied a lot depending on the tests, but still very promising. You know, it's just it's lovely to see. It was unbelievable. You know, just attaching images to an email, and the sort of images that would normally take, say, you know, a minute to attach to a mail were done in about 10 seconds, and it just makes everything feel like it's working faster. You know, you forget until you've tried really, really fast connection, like traveling overseas and, you know, trying a fiber line in Japan or South Korea or something, that everything seems to operate a lot quicker when you have those extra seconds that you aren't waiting for pages to load or something to upload or, you know, anything like that. It's it really does make a difference to your entire browsing experience. And I think this is a really exciting prospect and a really great sign of things to come. You know, obviously the other consideration or caveat that we have to bear in mind is that at the moment there's only a handful of people who actually have access to this test network. And as you said, it is also a pilot network. They're only using a very small amount of the spectrum that they've refarmed for the purpose. And there are only so many towers supporting it. But the interesting thing will be what it looks like in 3 months' time. Mm. You know, once it's actually rolled out and once there are a couple of hundred or a couple of thousand users competing to try and connect, then I think we'll see whether the system can actually maintain this sort of performance. Mm. I mean,
I suppose because they've got fiber into the towers, they will be able to maintain the backhaul.
Indeed, yeah.
Just in terms of the radio interface, I guess, I mean, when you've got hundreds of users connecting to the same tower, whether that's going to have an impact.
Indeed.
But I guess we'll only know once MTN launches commercial LTE services into the market.
Still, nevertheless, you know, I had a little bit of a geekgasm when I saw it. It was all very exciting. It's just great to see that kind of speed. And the only other qualifier that I think is worth mentioning is, you know, dongles. I'm generally not a fan of dongles for connecting at the best of times. They're just far too damaging on your battery life. Even the 3G dongles just devour battery from a laptop. And the LTE dongle seems particularly bad. I could almost watch the percentage of my battery dipping by the minute.
But early 3G modems were like that as well. And as I'm sure time goes on, these things will become more power efficient. And
indeed. And I'm sure that there'll be an offer to get a standalone one.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Those personal hotspots. Exactly. Those MiFi devices are a godsend. And, you know, once you can do that with an LTE, it'll be great. Also, the device gets rather warm. I was trying to, you know, pump as much data through it as possible. But by the time I took it out, it was quite toasty.
Yeah.
But exciting times. I mean, I can't wait to see it actually rolled out and commercially available.
Wow, we've got some real wildlife outside.
Yeah, geese, ducks, I'm not really sure what that is, but low flying either way.
Yes, so please excuse the background sounds. So I was chatting to Brett Haggard from our sister podcast, the ZA Tech Show, a bit earlier today at the telecom function. He was saying that he's been playing around with his LTE modem. His office is in Santon. And he's managed to tear through 65 gigabytes on it already.
Well done, Brett.
So, oh, it's a pity we don't have coverage, because I'm sure we'd be abusing it too.
Yes, indeed. That's why I went out of my way to try and find out at home. MTN were kind enough to eventually actually send me a map and show me that there is a tower just out of range of me. So if I walk a couple of blocks, I could sit on the pavement and do it. But as I said, I'd run out of battery life before I managed to get enough down to make it worthwhile.
Yeah, cool. Okay, well, let's move on to some other news. Interesting development this week was Craig Flasher, who was appointed, about 3 or 4 months ago to be the regional director for BlackBerry or Research in Motion, BlackBerry Maker.
In South Africa, that's
Sub-Saharan Africa,
that's true, yeah.
Is leaving to go to Samsung just 4 months before his predecessor left to go to Samsung.
I mean, 4 months after.
4 months after, I beg your pardon. It's a Friday afternoon.
That's all right, yeah.
And it's an interesting development, because we're seeing a lot of top executives leaving RIM on a worldwide basis. And here in South Africa, they seem to be having some trouble now keeping their local executives. And I wonder what this means.
Sure, well, it's difficult not to think of ship and rat analogies. But, I mean, this is the problem, you know. RIM, it's interesting that we're seeing it here, I feel, because, you know, globally, RIM certainly isn't enjoying the sort of growth that it did, you know, a few years ago. It's certainly at least a degree of stagnation and perhaps, you know, lost to other, you know, smartphone devices and so on. But RIM's still performing incredibly well in emerging markets, in part because of the model is so affordable. Mm. And it is still such a great enabler developing markets that there is still a lot of growth to be had. And, I mean, sub-Saharan Africa is certainly one of those developing markets. So it is curious that we're seeing so much going on here. Mm. BlackBerry, obviously, when we spoke to them, did downplay the loss of execs and said that they weren't overly troubled by it and that they are still enjoying month-on-month growth. And obviously they don't want to sound alarmed, but there must be some very serious meetings going on at the RIM offices.
Yeah. Anyway, let's not dwell on that one. Craig, you went to the National Planning Commission's NPC Jam at IBM.
NPC Jam, that's right.
Yeah, so it doesn't sound like something government would do.
No, it was really funny actually hearing people like Trevor Manuel and Cyril Ramaphosa talking about jamming and how they'd been jamming all morning. And, I had visions of them dancing around boardrooms. But it's actually a great initiative, really, Duncan. It's the National Planning Commission Committee. I'm having Friday afternoon moments too. The National Planning Commission has been tasked with essentially crowdsourcing government or policy that the public would like to see government take on board. And it's being run by IBM. IBM are providing the back end and providing the website to manage the procedure, and they'll be doing all of the data analysis sort of after the fact.
But this started yesterday. It's running until Saturday.
That's right. It runs until noon tomorrow.
Okay.
So people can still go and sign up. The idea is that you are required to sort of provide some sort of verification as to who you are and some of your details, because they're trying to sort of keep out the trolling element. Mm. But from the little I saw on Thursday, it's a really, really great initiative. You know, it's easy to be negative about these sorts of things. And yes, one certainly has to consider that by its very nature, in virtue of being online, there's an enormous percentage of the population that are excluded.
Yeah.
But, the NPC also went out of their way to say that there are various, they've set up various stations around the country where people can communicate their opinions on the topics being discussed via telephone, via fax. They are really genuinely trying to involve as many people as possible. But they were very conscious of the fact that the majority of participants are going to be the youth. And obviously the connected youth. Mm. But still, there was a bit of disbelief, I think, at first. You know, people thinking, well, this can't actually be Trevor Manuel who's responding to my question. But there are a number of ministers and commissioners getting involved and getting, you know, really stuck in. And it's about fostering a dialogue with the public about what it actually wants to see government doing. Mm.
I've had some interactions with the NPC in the last week, and I must say I'm quite impressed by what I'm seeing there. I think this is a genuine attempt by government to address some of the serious policy challenges that will actually get the economy growing and sort out some of the problems that facing the country. So,
no, so do I. And you know, Trevor Manuel also said very, very clearly that he said part of the strength of the commission was that its job is not to. Its job is not to pander to government. Its mandate is quite the reverse. The mandate is to present government with some of the hard truths of what the public thinks about it and how it's performing. I think it's a great initiative, really. The interesting thing is the deadline for the final report is the 11th of November. So that's sort of 6 weeks' time. In the meantime, though, we can expect to start seeing data coming out of this in the next, they said within the next week.
Okay. Well, there we go. We often hear feedback and criticism of telecommunications policy in South Africa. So here's your opportunity if you feel strongly on these issues and what needs to be done to grow the ICT sector in particular. Go check out mpconline.com and submit your views.
Indeed, definitely worth a punt.
Definitely worth it. Other big news this week was the news out of FiberCo that they've signed an agreement with ZTE for the construction of this 5 billion rand national fiber optic network, which is really going to take on Telkom's national fiber backhaul once it's up and running. ZTE, of course, being the giant telecommunications company in China. So don't be alarmed when you see thousands of Chinese people digging holes along the side of the N1. but that's also an exciting development and really good to see private capital being invested in this in the sort of infrastructure.
Indeed, and giving Telkom a run for its money, so to speak. Yeah.
And national backhaul is still a problematic area. The prices are still high, and that's one of the areas where prices need to come down to continue to drive down prices at the retail the retail access level.
Indeed, and to drive those prices down, we need more players.
So it's good to see that FiberCo is going ahead with its plans and starting to invest in these networks. They're building networks between Johannesburg and Cape Town and Durban to start with to connect the undersea submarine cables. But down the line, they're talking about connecting up all sorts of different parts of the country. So very positive development that. And of course, FiberCo, for those who don't know, is backed by Internet Solutions, Celsius, and Andile Haba's Convergence Partners,
that's the one.
And there has been some talk that BT, British Telecom, may invest, but that's not clear at this stage. They have come on as one of the anchor customers, though, for the service.
And there certainly have been murmurs about them increasing their involvement, which would certainly be a boon for it. I mean,
yeah, definitely.
You know, I mean, IS may be big, but BT is huge.
yes, indeed. Cool. The other big news, which we can't ignore, although it is about a week old now, is the news that Alanor Craig's World of Avatar, this is Alanor Craig Jr., not to be confused with his father, the former CEO of Vodacom, has bought Mixit from Naspers and founding the founder, Herman Hennis.
And come in for quite a lot of criticism from some in the tech industry about it.
He has indeed, yeah. There's a perception that Mixit is in slow decline, that it's facing serious competition from, especially in the smartphone market, from services like BBM, BlackBerry Messenger.
And WhatsApp.
And WhatsApp in particular. I'm a huge WhatsApp fan personally.
Me too.
Use it constantly. It's going to be interesting to see what he does with this business. He's obviously got a number of other businesses in the World of Avatar portfolio, that develop apps for smartphones. So I'm sure the idea here is to try and get those apps in front of eyeballs. And what he's done with this Mixit acquisition, the value of which hasn't been disclosed, bought eyeballs.
Well, I think that's exactly it. I think he's bought, you know, Mixit already, whether it's in decline or not, it has an enormous user base.
Yes.
And as you said, I think if you have a look at World of Avatar's sort of portfolio and the businesses that it owns, you know, it's also got, as you said, various sort of app development companies. But then there are things like Boom FM that we spoke to recently, which is a local music streaming service. There are a couple of sort of financial services too that are looking to offer sort of, I'm not really sure. I couldn't really figure out what they did, whether it was mobile payments or what, but they had a little category that said, you know, the financial, and there were two there. There's quite a wide range. You know, World of Avatar has its sort of finger in a lot of different businesses. And I think this is definitely a way to sort of amalgamate some of those and provide what could be an interesting service in time to come. A lot of the criticism, of course, is coming from the fact that Mixit is traditionally a platform used by youngsters. There aren't that many adults on it. And the question then is, if you monetize or try and monetize, where exactly is the money going to come from? Because the whole appeal of Mixit was that it was so low cost.
Yeah, that's why it took off. The same reason BBM is taking off.
And WhatsApp.
Yeah. It's a way of avoiding the high charges that the mobile operators charge for SMS.
Absolutely. And so even if, you know, there are ways to do these value adds, it's going to be interesting to see whether the existing Mixit base are prepared to pay for any services.
Yeah. Although they do have this virtual currency called Moolah, I think. I must admit, I haven't looked at Mixit. I haven't used Mixit in about 5 years, so I'm not sure what the platform looks like anymore.
I'll confess, and I probably shouldn't, that I've never used Mixit.
I think I used it once when I was still working at the Financial Mail, and I wrote a cover story on Mixit. And I installed it just purely because I was writing about it.
Sure. No, I know. I missed that boat.
I'm not the target market, I'm afraid. But yeah, they've got a virtual currency in there, and the payment platforms, I presume, as well. So maybe there's an opportunity there to try and monetize apps.
Indeed. Either way, though, it's an interesting move, and
it's a brave
move. It is brave, and also, you know, we need to be fair. Alan Knott Craig Jr. is no. He's been at this for some time. It seems unlikely that he would rush into this without being aware of all of the things we've just brought up.
No, sure.
You know? So I think there is definitely, there's definitely obviously something bigger going on behind the scenes.
I'd love to know who his backers are, because when I asked him how they were going to be funding this deal, he said that they would be paying cash for it. It's not an equity swap or anything. So I asked him, well, who's funding this? And he says, oh, it's the shareholders in World of Avatar. So I said, who are the shareholders in World of Avatar? It was himself, his co-founder, Matea, and a couple of unnamed investors. So I asked who are these other investors, and he wouldn't say. Mm. I wonder who they are. It could be interesting to know.
Indeed.
But he did say that they're not in the Mixit target market, but they're interested in monetizing the sort of platform.
Sure. Yeah, it's all very interesting. I think we're going to see some big announcement from that too, because the other thing is, especially in this space, you've got to move quickly.
Yeah.
You know, they won't be sitting on it and cogitating for too long. They'll be wanting to get something to market, whatever that something is going to be.
Not with cheap Android smartphones coming down the line. I mean, they're already arriving.
Indeed.
Android market has the potential just to take over, certainly in the app space. And once you've got Android, you use WhatsApp.
And once you've got those sub $100 smartphones, and they start to flood the market in the way they have in, you know, those Huawei phones have taken off in Kenya. It's just a matter of time before things like WhatsApp become so dominant that you really can't hope to play catch up.
Definitely. Great, Craig. I think we need to call it there. I was quite keen to talk about Amazon's big announcement this week about the Kindle Fire, and you also had a chance this week to play with the Samsung Galaxy Tab 10.1, which you really liked.
I did really like it. In fact, I think it's the we'll keep it fairly brief. I think it's the best Android tablet I've seen so far.
Mm.
I'll just say that. I really do.
Do you think it's better than the iPad?
I think in a sense it is. I think the problem is the iPad is still a more unified, more pleasant sort of experience, because in part because Apple locks it down so much.
Mm.
You know, Apple are so controlling that they make sure everything that's there works. And the iPad is still a smoother, sort of more pleasant experience, but there's no escaping the fact that the Samsung Galaxy Tab 10.1, awkwardly named as it is a much better piece of hardware. You know, the screen's better, the resolution's better, it's a better aspect ratio, it's more powerful, it has more RAM, it's just on the whole a more powerful, more potent device. And I imagine that if you're the sort of Android user who, you know, likes to get really, really involved and really get the most out of your tablet, you would certainly have a better experience with it than you would with the iPad. The problem is that the iPad has just gotten so much right that in many ways, for the layman, I think the iPad is still the easier and the first choice product.
But
the Samsung Tab is just absolutely phenomenal.
Cool. Well, we'll try and chat a bit about what's happening in the tablet space. In fact, our office here is so full of tablets, it's difficult to move. So we'll return to the topic in our next episode. As always, if you've got any feedback on the show, you're welcome to email us at info@techcentral.co.za or leave a comment at the bottom of the post on the website. From myself and Craig, until next time, have a great weekend and cheers.